Chapter 2. The next day, Darcy was walking down the long hallway on her way to English class. Both Hakeem and Brisana were in the class, and Darcy had made up her mind not to mention seeing them riding together yesterday. Whatever Darcy said would make her look bad. Hakeem would see her as being jealous, and Brisana would be delighted that she was so upset.
"Hi, Darcy,"
Brisana sang out as she started to pass Darcy in the hallway.
"Boy, was I ever wrong about Hakeem. He's so sweet. He just insisted on driving me home yesterday."
Fury surged in Darcy. It wouldn't have been as bad if Brisana had really liked Hakeem, but Darcy knew that wasn't true. She had seen Brisana make fun of his stuttering before.
"I can't believe you, Brisana. You're so full of it," Darcy cried.
Brisana took a step back.
"Excuse me?" she snapped,
crossing her arms on her chest. "I know you're being fake with Hakeem," Darcy went on, unable to hold back her feelings.
"Fake?"
"Yeah, a few days ago you were making fun of him, and now you're riding around on the back of his motorbike. I know you're only doing this to get back at me because I've become friends with Tara and Cooper."
"Darcy," Brisana spoke in a mocking voice, "are you jealous?"
"Jealous?"
Darcy exclaimed, her pulse pounding in her neck.
"It's obvious that you are," Brisana snapped. "And why wouldn't you be? You're the one who can't even hold on to the first boy who ever paid any attention to you. Besides, if all of a sudden you can find so much in common with the losers like Tara and Cooper, surely I can change my mind about Hakeem. Which reminds me, I gotta run. Hakeem's waiting for me in class."
Brisana moved forward to walk down the hallway, but Darcy blocked her way. The next thing Darcy knew, Brisana stumbled and fell against a row of metal lockers, scraping her knee. A small cut began to bleed from just below her kneecap. Brisana staggered to her feet, crying,
"Look what you did!"
"I didn't do anything," Darcy snapped.
"I can't help it if you're clumsy trying to walk on those stupid mile-high heels."
Darcy was shaking when she got to English.
"I almost got into a fight with Brisana over a guy," she thought. "What's wrong with me?"
Roiland Bailey's desk was two rows away from Hakeem's, and it was still 2 minutes before the beginning of class.
"Pardon me, Hakeem, but what the time is it?"
Roiland asked Hakeem as he came in.
"Shut your stupid mouth, Roiland," Darcy demanded.
"Oh, are you Hakeem's mommy?"
Roiland asked in a mocking voice.
"I guess Hakeem needs a mommy, 'cause he stutters like a baby."
A wave of laughter rippled through the room as Mr. Keenan walked in. He glared at the students and said,
"Levity is over and terror begins. A pop quiz."
He whipped out a stack of papers from his tan briefcase.
"Let's see if we can match the quotations to the persons who spoke them in Macbeth."
The multiple choice tests were quickly passed down the rows as Mr. Keenan warned,
"Don't embarrass yourselves by copying from your neighbors, dear scholars, for there are different tests for each row."
Darcy had read Macbeth more than once, so she had no problem with the quiz, but several students, including Roiland, seemed to have trouble with the questions. After class, Darcy and Hakeem walked out together.
"Look, Darcy," Hakeem said, "I know you want to help, but don't stick up for me in class, okay? It just makes me look like even more of a fool than I already am. I mean, my mom used to do that. I'd be playing and I'd stutter, and the guys would diss me and there'd be my mom yelling at them. I feel so bad, I wish I was dead. And you know something? Sometimes I still do."
Darcy felt shocked and hurt, as if she had been slapped in the face.
"Don't talk like that," Darcy cried. "It only makes things worse."
"Will you just let me handle this on my own?"
Hakeem said, with an angry edge in his voice. Darcy took a step back. She didn't mean to upset Hakeem. She only wanted to help him. But it didn't seem like Hakeem wanted her around. Maybe he would rather go to Brisana for comfort, Darcy thought bitterly. "I'm sorry, Hakeem."
"It's okay. Forget it. Just forget it."
Hakeem tried to smooth things over with a weak smile, but even his golden brown eyes failed to warm. Darcy hurried to her next class
and tried to concentrate on her astronomy project. She was writing a report on whether or not human beings would ever be able to colonize Mars. It seemed stupid to even think about it. Darcy forced herself to do her outline about a man-made plastic roof stretching over areas of the planet that would allow human beings to live. When tears ran down her cheeks, she dragged her sleeve across her face and went on working. After her last class, Darcy hurried past the Asian grocery store as a slender woman carefully laid out a tray of chicken. "I know why she's alone," Darcy thought bitterly to herself. "She's probably got a husband who left her to raise children and pay the bills." As she watched the woman work, Darcy imagined the struggle her own mother faced when her father left. She fought each day to hold a job, a home, and a family together with no help. All the while, Darcy thought, her father was living with another woman in New York City. Darcy studied the Asian woman carefully. She didn't know anything about her, of course. Maybe her husband was a loyal, hard-working man. Darcy didn't know. But right now, all Darcy could think of was that men and boys were heartless beings. Often, when Darcy returned home from school, she was the first one home. Then Mom would go racing off to her job as an emergency room nurse. But today, Eleanor Harris, a neighbor, was sitting with Grandma. "Grandma wasn't in any trouble, was she?" Darcy asked. "Oh, no trouble at all. She was a perfect little lamb," Miss Harris assured her. "As a matter of fact, she's sleeping now. She had a nice fruit cocktail and some of her nutrition drink not too long ago." Picking up her handbag, Miss Harris prepared to leave. "Well, I'm gonna run now. Tell your mom I'll talk to her tomorrow."
"Sure thing. And thanks, Miss Harris,"
Darcy said as she shut the door behind her kind neighbor. Soon after Miss Harris left, Jamie burst in from school. Only a month ago, she was getting terrible grades and hanging out with a bad crowd. But when Dad reappeared, she seemed to change for the better. She still played rap music much too loud, and Mom had to stop her from wearing short skirts to school. But she was getting decent grades now, and she had gotten rid of Bobby Wallace, the boyfriend who once punched her in an argument. Now she was dating a kid named Tyrone Penn, whose worst fault was wearing a ton of gold chains.
"I got a B in math, Darcy," Jamie announced.
Darcy gave her sister a big hug.
"That's great, Jamie. I'm so proud of you."
Jamie wriggled free of the embrace.
"And guess what? Tyrone is going with me to the school dance, and he called me his girl. And you know what else? I'm going out to dinner with Daddy, and we're eating at a fancy restaurant."
Darcy felt a cold chill pass through her heart. She wasn't as willing to forgive and forget everything their father had done. He had neglected his family for 5 long years and was just barely back, and Jamie was already holding her arms open as if he was some returning hero. "When did you decide to go to dinner with Dad?" Darcy asked coldly.
"Well, you know he's been asking both of us, you know that. I mean, don't get all bent out of shape or nothing. He's asked both of us like 100 times,
Jamie said, dropping onto the sofa.
"He hasn't been home long enough to do anything 100 times, Darcy replied sharply. "I mean, he just blew in from New York, right?"
"What's the matter with you, Darcy?" Jamie groaned. "Are you jealous or something?
Are you mad that I'm getting a little time with Dad?" Jamie demanded, her eyes flashing.
"It's just that you don't seem to care what he did to Mom or us. All of a sudden, he's some hero," Darcy said, her voice trembling.
"So what do you want, Darcy?" Jamie almost screamed. "Maybe Dad should be thrown in prison. I mean, you're always talking about love and forgiveness and all that stuff, and now you want us to hate Dad forever and ever."
Darcy began to cry.
"Jamie, I'm sorry. It's just that he hurt us all so bad."
"I don't care," Jamie said defiantly. "I just want my father back. I'm going to dinner with him, and if you don't like it, too bad. Mom says it's okay, and I'm going. That's all there is to it." Jamie got up and stomped off to her room. A second later, Darcy heard her sister's bedroom door slam. The yelling and fighting reminded Darcy of how things were just before Jamie ran away from home. Though it had been over a month since that night,
Darcy remembered it as if it was yesterday, and now, with Jamie's sudden outburst, it seemed as if that painful time had not even passed. Loud rap music throbbed through the walls of Jamie's room. What's going down? What's coming down? The bad you done is coming back around. You can try to hide. You can say you tried. Word on the street, somebody died. Darcy went to her grandmother's room and sat down beside her bed. Grandma was sleeping fitfully. Her Bible was on the nightstand at her side. Grandma could not see well enough to read it, and she no longer understood much of what was read to her, but she still liked hearing the familiar words. Darcy picked up the old Bible. It had originally belonged to Darcy's great-grandparents. To our beloved daughter, Annie Luella Duncan, read the beautifully written inscription on the first page, on her wedding day. Then, in Grandma's careful handwriting, were recorded the births of her four children, the births of grandchildren, the death of Emmett Duncan, her husband, and the death of her firstborn son on a foreign battlefield in some war she had now forgotten. Grandma stirred, her eyes sliding open.
Mama,
she called out in a puzzled, plaintive voice. I'm here, Grandma, it's Darcy, Darcy said, taking Grandma's hand.
My mama was here, Grandma said, smiling. She was just here. She read me some nice stories from the Bible. You should have been here. She read me about Joseph's coat of many colors.
I'm glad, Darcy said. Grandma, in her confusion, was probably mistaking Miss Harris, their neighbor, for her own mother.
Mama sang to me. She sang Deep River. You know that hymn I like so much?
Yes, Grandma, Darcy said. It's a lovely song. Grandma drifted off to sleep then, and Darcy gently put the frail woman's hand down on the blanket. Darcy went to her room and began looking through her music collection. She had to practice for the audition she had foolishly committed to just to help Hakeem. Darcy didn't want to make a complete fool of herself. She came across a song she had not heard in years and began to sing softly. Dream on, baby. You will be his lady. In his eyes, you'll see his smile, at least for a little while. Dream on, baby, and hope the night is long, and pray that you'll be strong when he's gone. Just then the phone rang. Darcy picked it up.
Darcy, I'm sorry I've been acting like a jerk, Hakeem said.
Oh, hello, Hakeem.
There's been so much stuff going on. I'm in a track meet on Saturday. I really need to make a good showing for my dad. He just finished chemo, and he needs something to cheer him up, like me sprinting first over the finish line on Saturday. So could you come? And then we could...
I didn't know your dad was having chemotherapy.
Yeah, well, he's okay about it, but he needs a distraction, you know? He's a real sports nut. So you think you could come, Darcy?
Hakeem sounded nervous. Sure, Darcy said.
Great, Hakeem said before he hung up. I'll save you a seat.
The brief conversation with Hakeem was enough to lift Darcy's spirits. After she rehearsed the song a few more times, she went to the kitchen and put a pair of frozen dinners in the microwave.
Yum, yum, just like Grandma used to make, Jamie said, sitting at the kitchen table and scribbling on a page of her history notebook.
Okay, so homemade is better, but I'd rather have this stuff than nothing, Darcy said, glancing at Jamie stabbing the notebook paper with the point of a freshly sharpened pencil. You've got a report due on Andrew Jackson, don't you? You better get started. Jamie made a face. Like it matters to me what this guy did 200 years ago. Hey, you know what, Darcy? Wouldn't it be cool if you could get into a real good place in your life and then just stop? I mean, not go to the next bad thing. Tyrone is being so nice to me. I can't believe it. I just wish we could stay like we are now, just having fun. Darcy checked on the dinners in the microwave. Just don't let him start making you do what you don't want to do.
Does Hakeem push you to do stuff you don't want to do? Jamie asked.
No, Darcy said.
I think Hakeem's cool, Jamie said, but Amber Lynn says he's retarded.
Retarded? Darcy snapped. That's the most stupid thing I ever heard of. What does some eighth grader know about Hakeem anyway? Amberlynn's brother, Roiland Bailey, goes to Bluford, and he's in classes with Hakeem. Roiland told Amberlynn that Hakeem stutters like somebody who's retarded, and everybody laughs at him, Jamie said. Roiland Bailey is a fool. You ever see the way he drools at girls? That boy needs to wipe his chin or wear a bib or something, Darcy fumed. Jamie burst into a fit of laughter, knocking her notebook off the small table, but Darcy felt wounded. People teased Hakeem because of his stuttering problem, yet everybody in this neighborhood had so many problems, Darcy thought, so why try to drag Hakeem down for his speech problem? He was a good student and a pretty good athlete. He could sing better than anyone else she knew, and he had a heart of gold. No one, she thought, had any right to make fun of him for anything. No one.